Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. I want to welcome everybody watching online. Can we welcome everybody joining us online? Welcome. I'm so glad you're here today because we're wrapping up the sermon series called Strapped. I hope you enjoyed the series. I hope you learned something. Anybody learn something? Anybody learn something? Did you put your budget in place? See, now it got quiet, right? Y'all didn't learn anything. I said, did you get your budget in place? Remember, get your budget in place. Remember to monitor your spending. Stop going into debt. Remember all these principles we talked about in week one. We talked about the ownership principle that God owns everything. Why y'all quiet now, right? Come on, church. God owns everything. Then stewardship principle. We are his M&Ms, his money managers. Everything we have is a gift from God. How many know that? Everything we have has been given to us by God. Right? Everything. Everything. So grateful for that. Then we talked about, what did we talk about? What was week three? Let me get the other mic. That's why I forgot. It was the tithing principle. That's why I forgot week three. Last week, we talked about canceling debt, stop going into debt. And today, I want to talk to you, the last message, about embracing generosity, about being generous. And today's message I've entitled, Reset Your Mindset. Reset your mindset. It's really important to grasp the truth that God is a generous God. I mean, you know, God is so generous. God has been so generous to us. Isn't that so true? He's a generous God. It is in his character and nature to be generous. One of my favorite verses growing up as a kid was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Without the generosity of God, none of us would have salvation. Without the generosity of God, none of us would have anything that we have. We have what we have, and we are who we are, and we have the salvation that we have because God is generous. And when you and I are generous, we reflect the character of God. We reflect who God is when we live a life of generosity. Yes, church? Because God has been generous to us, we ought to be generous to others. How many know that? And because God has been generous to me, I ought to be generous to other people. I ought to be generous with my time. I ought to be generous with my finances. I ought to be generous with my resources. I ought to be generous with my abilities, my skills, my talents, my words. God wants us to live generous lives because when we are generous to others, we reflect the image of God. But how many know that being generous is difficult? Being generous is challenging. Being generous doesn't come easy. And quite frankly, it's not natural. I've had a hard time being generous in moments in my life, and I learned this generosity lesson years and years ago when I was in Boston, Massachusetts, and I was planting a church in Boston. And God had us call there in 1998. We were planting this church, and every Sunday, we didn't have a lot of money. We kind of were bivocational, so we didn't take a salary from the church, and I worked part-time, and my wife worked, and we just kind of did our best to make ends meet. And every Sunday after church, it's also a setup church, so every Sunday morning we had to set up and tear down. My wife was the van driver. She would pick up families until she was like 8 months pregnant. You know, she's driving the church van, the big letters on the side of the church and the church van. It was quite funny. But I remember, so every Sunday afternoon we would just crash because we worked all week. We're just exhausted. And we would watch a movie, and then we would get something to eat. But it wasn't anything fancy. So this week was McDonald's, right? It wasn't anything fancy, McDonald's. So we were watching a movie, and then we said, let's run out to get some McDonald's. And we got our McDonald's, And then we stopped at the red light, and there was someone there with a sign that said, you know, hungry, need food. And my wife is so generous. She's such a generous person, if you know my wife. She's so generous. She says, honey, let's give them our food. And I said, no way, ain't no way. Because you don't know what kind of life they lived. You don't know. I'm making up all excuses because you smell the fries. You smell the cheeseburgers. You know, you're already salivating. Like, you can't wait to get home to get the cheeseburgers. And there's the guy, like, need food. And I'm like, you know what? That's his issue. I'm hungry, too. I'm like, I'm hungry, too. So she was so mad because she's so generous. And we drove away. She's so mad. And she says this. She goes, you never know if that was an angel. You never know if you're going to, right? You said something like that, right? And then what happened next? Okay, so we're watching in the movie, and in the movie they had the same line. You never know if you're entertaining an angel. Did we go back out to find him? No, but we didn't find him. Right, that's what happened. We went to go find him. We found him, but then when we turned around, he was gone. Oh, snap. I said, Lord, teach me to be generous. I remember, I'll never forget that story. It was like the beginning of my journey towards generosity. And all of us struggle at times in our life to be generous. Am I right? Maybe a little bit of selfishness, but mostly because, what, we feel strapped. And I know we're in a tough economy because inflation's never been so high in like 40 years. And it's really, we're all feeling it. Am I right? By the way, thank you. Thank you. You are an amazing church. Let me just tell you something. You are amazing. Because not only have you taken this church through a pandemic, now you're taking us through a recession. I don't know if it's a recession officially, but inflation, right? You guys are amazing. I just want to thank you for that. But the feeling of being strapped can cause us to not be generous, to be a little selfish, to be a little close-fisted. There's other reasons why we struggle with generosity, maybe because of overwhelming debt. Maybe we've just got a lot of bills and a lot of debts to pay. And we're like, you know what? I can't be generous. I wish I can, because I think we all want to be generous, right? We all wish we could be generous, but we got the payments to make, am I right? So we talked about debt last week, you know, let's slay debt last week. Thirdly, I'm really learning is an attitude of ingratitude. I was thinking, why aren't we generous? And maybe sometimes because we're not really grateful for how God has been generous to us. Maybe not grateful for what we have. Can you just push the pause button? I know we're always wishing we had more and thinking we had more and wanting more, but could we just take a moment, just be grateful for what God has already placed in our hands? Can we take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for my family? Thank you for my home. Thank you for whatever car I'm driving. Thank you for my job, although I might hate it sometimes. Lord, thank you for providing. Take a moment just to be grateful. Because if we can take a step back, we can recognize that God has been good to us, that God has been generous to us, and God has been faithful to us. So why not be generous? It's another reason why we struggle with generosity. The last reason, the main reason I want to talk to you is the lack mindset. Mindset. Scientists say we think in two different ways. We have, let me get this correct. We have two modes, two types of modes that our brain operates in. One, it's default mode, and the other is direct mode. 50% of the time, we're in default mode, like going to work. We're not thinking. We just drive to work or drive to church or we go shopping or we wake up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, whatever. We walk through the house. It's just we don't think 50% of the time. The other 50% is direct mode. We have to intentionally think about decisions and making certain decisions and doing certain things. What I've learned is that for a lot of us, we might have grown up in a home that didn't have a lot. We might have picked up a scarcity mindset growing up. We might have picked up a lack mindset. We might have picked up a cheap mindset or a selfish mindset. And when it comes to generosity, our default mode is to be more selfish than generous. Are you following me? Like immediately we're thinking, I can't. For example, I said this the other day. You go into, I went to the movies about a month ago, and we went to see Doctor Strange, which was strange, by the way, Doctor Strange. And so my brother-in-law, we do our annual White Castle trip. Okay, we go to Palisades, stop at White Castle once a year. We go there. So we went to White Castle, and the reason why we go to White Castle is because they have, 25-cent cheeseburgers, right? And at the very end of the order, they ask you, would you like to round that up for charity, right? And I'm like, what? I already give to charity. What is this charity for? Again, to feed hungry families, I asked. Your natural default mindset isn't necessarily yes for some of us. It's no, that's my money. I'm the hungry person, right? I'm the starving child. And we struggle sometimes because default tells us we can't help because of something in our background, maybe the way we've grown up. Maybe we're afraid to lose what we have. But yet, if we push pause, if I had to push pause at that moment and we're talking about 50 cents, why do I struggle with saying yes for 50 cents? Right? Mindset. Lack mindset. I'm going to lose what I have. This is all I have. I can't afford more. I'm strapped. I'm overwhelmed. You go through these things. And I just want to just tell you that this, if you can reset your mindset, then you'll experience the joy of generosity. Because the secret to happiness is not in getting. The secret to happiness is in giving. I love what Acts 20, verse 35 in the Message translation says. What? You're far happier, what, church? Than getting. This is countercultural, isn't it? Culture tells you you're happiest when you get. When you get the new things, when you get the new stuff, when you get the bigger stuff. But Jesus teaches us that true happiness comes from giving, from being generous. So you might ask the question, how do I know if I'm living a generous life? Well, I'll just ask, how happy are you? Are you happy in life? Are you happy? Or are you struggling with feelings of discontentment? Wanting more, not having enough. But I just want to tell you really simple today that generosity makes you what? Makes you happy. Generosity makes you happy. That's even scientific. It's called the warm, when we're generous, scientists call it, we get a warm glow. It's this feeling of oxytocin is released, and we have this warm feeling inside. You know what I'm saying? Like you do something nice for someone, and you feel so warm inside and nice. The key to happiness is not in getting, it's in giving. It's in releasing. It's in being generous. And I think Jesus knew this. That's why he said, God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver, because when we give out of a heart of generosity, we do it with happiness. And this was the practice of the New Testament church. Look at Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament. This is the birth of the church, Acts 2. We read their early practices. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions for what purpose? To what, church? Give to anyone who had need. The church, in its infancy, was the solution to the social problems of the community. The problem is today, is that the church has no longer become the answer to many of the social problems, because for many, we struggle with generosity. So government has to come in and provide some of these basic necessities for people when the church were the first ones to provide assistance to those in need. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He says this, you will be enriched in every way. For what purpose? So that you can be generous on every occasion. Think about that. Would you say that you have been enriched? Would you say that you have been blessed? Would you say that God has been generous to you? What's the purpose? Of course, God wants to bless you. God wants to provide. God wants you to have the basic necessities and needs of life, but he also wants you to be generous. And notice what happens when you're generous. He says, generous on every, go back one, on every, go back, on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. I've been the recipient of many people's generosity, especially when we were church planning. I'll never forget when we were struggling. And we would walk into our two-bedroom apartment in the inner city of Boston, and we had nothing. And I remember 6 bags of groceries. Remember that, hon? 6 bags of groceries. Just, I don't know who brought it to this day. I don't know. But their generosity, you know what it told me? You know what it did to me? I said, thank you, God. People will thank God because of your generosity. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because when you act like God, people will thank God because of you, because of your giving, because of your generosity, because how you have been open-handed with your life and what he's given to you. Remember a few years ago, a pastor friend called us and said, hey, we want to just bless you. We were again, at one of those low points in our ministry. We were in Massachusetts, now Western Mass. We were going through a tough time. And this pastor, I've never been treated so kindly, so lovingly. Gave us the red carpet treatment, just blessed our socks off, was so generous to us. It was healing to our souls. It was healing to us as a family. And we thank God for that generosity. But you know also what that generosity did? Not only did we thank God, it inspired us to be generous. And that's what generosity does. The next slide says this, that gratitude inspires generosity, and generosity inspires gratitude. When you're grateful for what God has provided for you, you're generous. And then when you're the recipient of generosity, you're grateful. And there's this cycle that happens. And I just want to tell you that in this day and age that we're living right now, the worst thing we can do is be selfish or self-centered, because that's the antithesis of generosity, isn't it? Being selfish. What we need to be doing more than ever is looking for a need and filling it. Asking God to show you needs, people, situations, circumstances that are in your power to be able to bless people, encourage people. Just imagine for a moment if generosity was unleashed through our church, the power that generosity could have on people's lives in which they are giving God thanks. We saw a little bit of that last week when we gave out over 1,000 bags of groceries, right? In Middletown last week. For those of you that were serving, all 60 Transformers, you saw the power of generosity in which we gave, and they were impacted. Think for a moment how God wants to use you. And we're not talking about a lot. We're talking about generous, not just with finances. We're talking about with our time, with our resources, with what God has been generous to us with, right? Now, there are reasons why, and I talked to you those reasons why, but the fourth one was our mentality. Our mentality keeps us from being generous. There's 3 types of mentalities that I discovered. Number one is a bag mindset. That bag mindset, which keeps us from being generous, is the mindset that tells us that we don't have enough. We don't have enough to be generous. Haggai gives us a picture of this. Haggai says, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. This is, I believe, a picture of someone who doesn't live a generous life. You're constantly trying to earn. You're constantly trying to meet your needs, but it feels like you just don't have enough. It feels like the more you earn, the less you have. Have you ever been there? Like, I'm working hard. I'm trying really hard. I'm trying to make a living, but it just seems like I'm putting my money in a bag with holes. And that's what God speaks to the people of Israel. They were very selfish. They were self-centered. They weren't living a generous life. They were working hard, but that money kept going in a bag that had holes. Things just kept happening. Things kept breaking. All the money that came in just went right out. This is a mindset that people have. And I know that sometimes we think that we're trying to avoid poverty by not being as generous as God wants us to be. But listen to this. The poverty that we're trying to avoid is the poverty that comes by avoiding generosity. Isn't it true? Because Jesus said you're far happier giving than getting. He says you're more blessed giving than receiving. And we're trying to avoid poverty, yet that's the poverty we're experiencing because we're hoarding what God has given to us. And a closed fist is just holding on to what you have. It's also a closed hand in which God cannot give. Instead, God wants you to have an open hand of giving so you can also have an open hand to receive. The second kind of mindset is the basket mindset, when there is enough. Isn't that a great season in life that God is meeting your needs, that you have enough? And we read this in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give. These are people that are giving, that are generous. It says, when you give, it will be, I did this a few months ago in a sermon. Let's get our fingers ready. Ready? Give and it will be given to you. This is all the ways we receive back, okay? Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. 7. Isn't that beautiful? This is a picture of people in the New Testament times in which they would harvest the land, the grain, and they had so much harvest that they had to pick up the basket, shake it, so that they can pour more into it. And that's what a picture of what Scripture is telling us of people that give. It's this mindset that, you know what? God has blessed me, and I'm going to be generous. God has met all of our needs, and I'm going to be generous. I have this basket that God is filling to overflowing. He's blessing my work. He's blessing my life. Okay? Philippians 4:19, this also connects to this. It says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful that God will supply all of our needs? And that's what Scripture says. And the next verse says, the fruit of your womb be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young in your livestock will be blessed. Verse 5 and 6 says, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Isn't that beautiful? Your basket will be blessed. That's an image of people who are generous. But then there's a third mindset that my prayers that I hope you get to. And that's this last mindset, which is the barn mindset. It's a barn mindset, an understanding that God is infinitely more than enough. He's just not enough to meet our needs. He can provide more than what we can ever ask, think, or imagine. Deuteronomy 28 connects to this verse, barn. It says, the Lord will send you a blessing on what? Your barns and everything you put your hand to. Pause. Giving and generosity is a blessing on things outside of your home. In other words, on your work, on your family. But the barn blessing is within your home, behind closed doors. It's in your financial accounts. Are you with me on that, right? So it says, the Lord will send blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. So not just blessing on your home, your barns, your family, but on everything you do. That's the kind of blessing I want for my life. That whatever I place my hand on, God will bless. It says, the Lord your God will bless you in the land that he's giving to you. Isn't that beautiful? How many want barn blessings? Not just enough, not just enough to maybe share with a couple people, but a blessing of overflow in which you are making an impact on a multitude of people. On a multitude of people. I think of the owner of Hobby Lobby, David Green. God has given David Green barn blessings. And David Green has used his barn blessings to bless nonprofit Christian organizations, including my alma mater, Bible School. He bought, my Bible school in Rhode Island was falling apart. David Green bought a campus in Haverhill, Massachusetts that was abandoned for many years. He renovated it, spent tens of millions of dollars in renovating the campus. And to this day, on this day, there are students being trained to be ministers of the gospel because of David Green's generosity. Isn't that amazing? That's barn blessing. Where do we begin with barn blessing? Well, the barn blessing that this passage is connected to Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And then verse 10 says, don't I have the next verse? Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Notice, it's another dimension of blessing. But that extra dimension of blessing requires another level of generosity. Are you listening? Are you hearing me today? It's principles, biblical principles. So the more generous you are, the more generous God is to us. The more we're faithful with the little that we have, Scripture teaches this. When we're faithful with what we have, he will give us more. I believe in that principle. I believe that we need to be faithful with what God has placed in our hands so that we can be in position to manage more that God wants to release in our lives. I truly believe that. It's a biblical principle. And this is the thing. We cannot allow a strapped mentality to keep us from being generous because people are looking for help. People need help. People need encouragement. God wants us to be generous, not with just finances, but with our words, with our time, with our lives, with our resources. So let me ask this question. What has God put in your hands? What has God placed in your hands? And how does God want you to be generous? It doesn't take much to be generous. But you know what it takes? A generous heart. A generous heart, a generous life. People who live out the generosity of God. People are generous with their time. This church lives because of the generosity of people. This church exists because people are so generous and they donate their time on Sunday mornings. Isn't that beautiful? People donate their lives to help others in need. People give of themselves. People give of their resources. You see a need, you fill it. When you see needs around you, you have a generous heart, an open heart, and say, God, how can I make a difference in this world? It doesn't take a lot, does it? It doesn't take a lot just to be kind, to show kindness, to be generous, to look for a need. You know, what I've done in the past is I've even created a generosity line in my budget. I'm just going to put money aside every week so that I could just be generous. So I could just say, you know what? Somebody, I hear, as needs come around, you hear needs that come around and you say, Lord, I just want to be generous. I want to help those in need. I want to bless those around me. More than ever, we have to be generous people. now more than ever, because people are relying upon us. And listen, God doesn't send wire transfers, right? He doesn't feed the homeless. He doesn't give people money. We are the ones. We are God's plan A to reach the world. And if people are being blessed, it's because of people like you and me. Us. We are the people. So we're going to pray. But we are someone's answer to prayer. That's what I wanted to bring out to you today. That's it. You are someone's answer to prayer. Somebody right now is praying, Lord, I have this need. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I need help. And when you hear God's voice, and when God brings the need before you, and you are generous, and you fill that need, guess what that person is going to be doing? And saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We've said that so often, especially early in our lives of ministry. Thank you, God. And now, we want to be the generous. We want to bless others. And I'll leave you with this last point. If you want the blessing of God on your life, if you want the power of God on your life, if you want the anointing of God through your life, you must build integrity, humility, and generosity. Because when we are generous, we are most like God. Think about that. So as we close today, I want you to think about this message, this sermon. I want you to pray about it and say, God, how could I be generous this week? Who can I be generous to this week? Strategically, think about it. Pray about it. And this is my guess, that as soon as you have an open heart, this is my guess, that God will present to you opportunities to be generous. Isn't that beautiful? And God will use your life to make a difference. And generous people are happier people. So my prayer is hopefully next week all of you come in with that warm glow on your face, because you have been blessed not by what you've received, but how you gave. Y'all with me? Yes? Because Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being generous to us. And we ask you to help us to be generous to others. Cultivate that heart of generosity. Lord, we don't want to live selfishly, hoarding what we've been given. Help us to love. Help us to demonstrate care in simple ways. Help us, Lord, to reflect your Son in our hearts and our lives. We present to you this morning, and we thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. And everyone together said amen and amen.